All right. So could you tell me a bit about your IRL project and your role within it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am from Team Philly in cohort four. And our project, I work with Ashley Murray and Melissa Dichter, who are both researchers. So I'm the community partner. And we are looking at basically how we can improve the connection between pediatric medical providers and the families that they work with who are identifying as experiencing domestic violence. So the way that we're doing that is trying to develop a feedback tool where survivors would be able to have their voices heard in the screening process and the referral process, where they can say, I was referred by my doctor, but I really didn't appreciate how they spoke to me about it. Or it was actually very impactful, how the nurse spoke to me, and she was so kind, and that worked really well. And then, the provider will be able to take that information, and hopefully it will improve their screening practices moving forward. So it's really the survivor voices are kind of building on that knowledge for the medical providers moving forward.
Interesting. Okay. And what is your role within that project as the community partner?
My agency has a survivors network. And so they have been a really big part of kind of the work we've done so far on the ground. So I'm able to connect our researchers with some survivors who have been through our counseling program and are now on the other side of that. And they have really identified as people who want to have more impact on some of our services. So we've been able to kind of connect with them and ask for their feedback and ask, what's a way that you would have wanted to kind of give some of this feedback back to your own medical provider or your child's provider. So that's a really big way. I also supervise a team of advocates who are seeing survivors in hospital settings. And so, as they have a lot of direct contact with survivors, I'm able to really just kind of connect, with real survivors as they're experiencing things. So, if a survivor is saying that they had a really awesome experience, they want to be able to tell that to their provider somehow. That's information that I can bring back to the researchers, and that kind of informs our process.
Interesting. And how did you come to this project, or how did this all form or come together?
We've been hearing from medical providers for a while now that they wanted to know more about the process of, somebody gets screened for domestic violence and then they get referred to my agency, which does some of the counseling and advocacy. And then they don't know what happens to that family. And that is because my agency is protected by the Protection from Abuse Act in Pennsylvania, which makes it so that by law we can't share with anybody what happens with our clients. So our hands are tied, and the providers understand that, but they still want to know what's happening because they really care deeply about, the families they're working with. So we had heard that for a few years, and we've also heard a lot of interest around kind of trying to track the health outcomes of people that are referred to our program. And so this is one way that we thought that we could start looking at that is, to just hear from the survivor what the process was like, and then to kind of give that feedback back. But it really kind of was born out of an understanding that the providers are doing good work, but they want to be more involved with the process. And then when we started to ask survivors what it would be like, what we heard from them was they really want their voices heard in the process, because often they feel like that's not happening.
Interesting. And so you're kind of helping bridge that gap. And what interests you about this work or what brought you to this work?
To the research project in general, or?
Or just to what you do.
I got involved with domestic violence work pretty much right out of grad school. I had taken a class that was actually taught by Melissa, who's now one of my research partners. So that was really cool. And she just really got me really excited about it, where, yeah, she just spoke so passionately about survivors and what they experience and really their resiliency. And that is really mirrored in the agency that I work for too, where, you know, we understand that what survivors go through is very difficult and painful and dangerous. But the center of our work is always centered around the resiliency of survivors and knowing that they know what is best for themselves. And we're just there to try to connect them with the resources they need, help them to strengthen those safety plans maybe, and then, you know, be around for counseling them through that healing process. I mean, after that grad school class, I came across our agency and saw some of the work that we were doing in the hospital system, which is really what held my attention or got my attention, because I loved the model of trying to make something better from within. And I feel like that's definitely what our project is trying to do as well. Not just trying to start something new, but also, you know, there's a lot of good work being done there already, and just, you know, bringing all of our expertise together to the table and seeing how we can all improve it together.
Can you speak more to that? I am botching exactly how you worded it, but, you know, working from within to make improvements. Can you speak more to that and how you envision that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's honestly my favorite part of my job. So, it's something that we're trying to do every day with our hospital partners, where, you know, a lot of times when we come to a hospital, they'll say, we know that we are working with victims of domestic violence, but we don't know how to help them as much as they need. And we don't know, you know, how to just make it better in general. And so a lot of what we do is to try to really tune into what is happening and what each community needs. So we try to look at every new department that we go into, every new hospital we go into or clinic as its own community. And that approach has worked very well for us. So, for example, we work very closely with the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and we're both in their main hospital, like the emergency department, some of the inpatient units, and then we are also in a primary care unit. And what we found is what works for the emergency department does not work for primary care. So just really tuning in and listening to, you know, the nurses on the ground have been doing this work, and they have their own expertise. And we're not here trying to tell them what to do, just trying to give them the knowledge that they need to really do their best work. So, you know, we listen to what they think is a priority, and then tell them, you know, this is what we know about best practices working with families experiencing domestic violence. And then, I mean, it's really a beautiful process, because often what we see is it just kind of clicks with everybody. And a lot of times we see that when a nurse will say that she screened her first family and they said, yes, they're experiencing it. And then the family went to shelter that day. And the nurse can immediately see that impact and know, you know, that what she did really made a difference that day. And that's something that couldn't have happened the same way without our program. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of working together and just honoring a lot of the work that's already being done and not coming in and assuming, you know, we know best.
Can you speak more to that? Because I find that interesting, where that's kind of like that community engaged research model. And it sounds like mm-hmm. you also use that model in your day-to-day work. So could you describe that more?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I really love that, that the IRL program talks so much about that, because I think that's what we have found to work best now for a few years. You know, I think one way that I saw that happening was when we were working in the emergency department and trying to get a new screening project off the ground. We were trying a few different things to try to motivate people and, you know, saying, please screen, you know, if you have some time, can you please do it? And finally, one nurse came up to us and was like, actually, the culture here is if you want us to do it, you have to tell us that it's important and that we just need to do it. Which was different for us because we're just, you know, we're used to in another hospital, the culture is very much like, we would love it if you screened. And they're like, okay. And nurse told us was very true. Just like, it's a different culture. And that helped us to appreciate the strength in that culture. So definitely all of our hospital partners have their own strengths where one is deeply committed to the community that they're in. It's a small community hospital and they're deeply committed to being, you know, that zip code's place to get help for anything. And so we really lean into that and use that community expertise to kind of get things going. So one project that we did there was to set up a safety room so that if somebody came in off the street and said, I don't need medical help, but I'm running for my partner, we have a place to put them in that hospital. And that was really in line with that hospital's really ethos of being that community helper. And that definitely works very well for that one. But for one of our other hospitals, that's just not their vibe, which is also fine. So yeah, so it's really a strength-based model where it's communicating with the people who are on the ground and asking them, you know, what do you think your strengths are in this hospital? And what can we lean on? What can we pull from? And people are very clear about what they're doing well, which is great because that's what we want. So I think it's just trusting what people are saying that they need from us and then working with that. It's interesting work. Every day looks a little bit different.
So just to make sure I understood, so it's really understanding the culture of each clinic or hospital, and kind of leveraging their strengths and their expertise. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
So one of the questions was on the survey, what question do you wish people asked you more often? And you said, and this is kind of speaking to what we've been talking about, you said, I wish people asked more about the resilience of our community. If so, they would learn about the vibrance and beauty our community members have found in sharing their healing journeys with us and with each other. Could you speak more to that, either sharing a story that kind of demonstrates that or just expanding on what you meant there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, my team actually had an interesting experience a few weeks ago where somebody kind of approached us and wanted to know more about the work we were doing. We're just very insistent that what they wanted to hear was how difficult things are for domestic violence survivors, especially during COVID. How sad things are, how they have no resources available to them. And it was tough for us because what we kept coming up against was, you know, yes, things are extremely challenging right now for everybody during COVID and definitely for domestic violence survivors. But, you know, a big thing that we're seeing is that survivors are very creative and they know how to keep themselves safe as possible in a lot of different situations, not all. But they, you know, that survivors have a lot of expertise and a lot of knowledge at their own disposal to try to get their needs met. So one example that we saw recently was a mother came to the children's hospital and said that she, you know, had an appointment for her daughter. She had come with her abusive partner and, he was told that he couldn't come into the hospital because of COVID regulations, which the mom was hoping for. And so when she was admitted by herself and her daughter, she told the nurse, "I actually don't have an appointment, but I really need to speak with somebody. I'm in danger." And because she thought to do that, the nurse connected her with a social worker who connected her with our program. And together they were able to get a protection from abuse order that day. And then the mom was able with her daughter to go into emergency safe housing. And I think, you know, a lot of times when people think about domestic violence survivors, it's a very dark and scary picture. And definitely what survivors experience is incredibly difficult. But we also just see a lot of joy in the healing process when somebody goes through counseling and they find that, you know, for the first time, they're able to make a decision after 5 years of abuse. They haven't been able to make a single decision for themselves. And they just decide, you know, I'm going to go buy a new shirt for myself. And that is a really big deal. And there's a lot of joy there that we get to see that a lot of other people don't get to witness. Other times we see it with their children where, you know, their children were really struggling after witnessing violence at home. But then their kids start making friends again at school. And that's because, you know, some of the skills that they've learned working with one of our counselors. So it's things like that, that I wish people, you know, a lot of times when I say I'm a domestic violence counselor, people are like, "Oh, wow, that's really hard," or that must be really sad. But honestly, most days that I, you know, leave work, I'm really happy and overjoyed that I got to be part of somebody's journey. And I'm just really always overwhelmed with gratitude, you know, that my clients over and over and our staff's clients really just know how to tap into their own resiliency, you know, their own human spirit. It's really wonderful.
That's, I really like that positive and holistic spin on it, really seeing everyone as a whole person and not just a sad story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's a lot of sad stories out there, but, you know, a lot of times not the thing that defines them. And that's always what our clients are saying to us too, is that they don't want to be defined by what's been done to them. So, yeah.
Interesting. So what haven't I asked you yet, or what did you come into this conversation thinking about, or something you wanted to address, or maybe something that in the course of our conversation has come up for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, whenever I am engaging with any of my IRL work, I think the thing that always comes up for me is to just encourage people to keep thinking about how to trust community partners. And I don't just mean like myself. I think I've seen also how I have to lean into trusting my own community partners. And yeah, I think just starting from a place of curiosity is just what I always like to encourage people to do. And yeah, to sit back and ask people what it's like to be them, I think is a good place to start. We've found a lot of success in that in the medical field, in the domestic violence field, because often I think people do feel overlooked. They feel maybe either overworked, under-resourced. And when somebody actually sits and asks in a way that makes it clear you want to know the answer, like you want to know what it's really like to be them, I think a lot of times people feel heard in a way that just our society doesn't normally encourage. So yeah, I think I've loved that IRL really leaves space for that. And Robert Wood Johnson overall, yeah, they really lean into it. So. Yeah.
So what does trust look like for you? So trusting the community partner.
Mm-hmm. I think when somebody is giving feedback or somebody is saying, I hear you, but that's not going to work for me, then knowing that that is coming from a place where even if you disagree, which is okay, they're saying it for a reason. And, you know, there have been a few times where with medical providers, we may have disagreed about screening practices, or, you know, they were like, it has to be this way because of hospital policy, or, you know, I'm in charge, so this is just the way that it's going to go. And we strongly disagreed. But also just knowing that they're coming from a place of care most of the time. And so what trust looks like is trusting that at the core, community partners are really, we're all caring about the same people, maybe arriving at that differently. But yeah, keeping at the core, the care for the people we're serving and we're working with. I think that's a really big part of trust. And I think especially for the folks doing the work on the ground, you know, if they say that's not going to work or, if they are saying like, you know, I really recommend that it's this way, then you try to make it work that way. Figure out, you know, not how to make the community adapt to you, but the other way around. I think that has gone a long way.
I really like that, not making the community adapt to you, but the other way.
Yeah.
Was there anything else that you were thinking about?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Jessica. So I will have the communications materials to you by mid to late August. Okay. But in the meantime, let me know if you have any questions. And I really appreciated this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And good luck with your daughter.
Thank you. I need it.
I bet.
Yeah.
All right. Bye.
Bye.